Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
And welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and I'm very excited about our guest today. I have Tom Wise with me. And Tom spent over 30 years in the TV selling business. He worked as a host and director of on-air talent on HSN, and as a vendor, has appeared as a guest on HSN and QVC. He has imported millions of dollars worth of products that were sold on live TV, and he worked as the VP of production for Shark Tank's Kevin Harrington. He is the inventor and patent holder of the 4-in-1 carry cart and part-time stand-up comic. Wow, it's my pleasure to welcome Tom to our show today.
Hello, Belinda. That person sounds very impressive.
I know, right?
Wow. How many lifetimes is that?
I don't know. We're going to find out, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Here we go.
Here we go. So great. It's a great bio, and it makes me like interested on so many levels. So Let's just jump in, fill in some of the gaps from the bio. But you know what? I also, even before you fill in the gaps of the bio, let's just get right to it and tell us what the carry cart is, because everybody likes to know, really, what is your business before we're hearing like all this past? And then let's go down sort of memory lane and talk about your journey, because people also love to know, like, you didn't get this happen overnight. So like, what was a little bit of that journey? So why don't we start? Let's hit it right out of the gate.
Right. We're going right to the dessert. We're going to the carry cart. Carry cart is an item that I invented. I started working on this about 5 years ago. Essentially, it's a 4-in-1 utility cart. I saw something similar being sold on TV about 20 years ago, and I thought this is time for this to come back. This is a wonderful item. It's for moving things. You want to move things easily. Most folks will use a dolly or a wheelbarrow or a hand truck, things like that, if they've got to move. But the carry cart incorporates four of those in one, an oversized dolly. So if you're moving something big like a refrigerator or a washer dryer or a wall or a huge door or something like this, you've got this oversized dolly. It takes up to 400 pounds. And then it flips, Belinda, without using any tools. It flips. A handle flips up and it turns into a hand cart. So you're moving mulch, or you're moving bricks, or you're moving bottles of water, things that you pick up at Costco or Walmart, you know, some big things. So you're rolling those around. Again, 400 pounds.
Wow.
And then, yes, and then it flips one more time, and it turns into a two-wheeled hand truck. You know, that you're moving filing cabinets up and down stairs, in and out of tight spaces, very nimble, very quick. And easy to flip from one to the other. And then lastly, it turns into a four-step stepladder. It's an ANSI certified safe three-step stepladder. And it even has wheels on it, so you can wheel it from room to room to room. And it's super sturdy, oversized treads, oversized steps, and super simple to operate. And then it all stores in the space of a push broom. And it replaces a dolly, replaces a hand truck, a hand cart, and also replaces your three-step stepladder. It also replaces a wheelbarrow. So you're replacing a lot of things, and you're storing it in a small space, and it weighs about 27 pounds.
That is amazing. Like,
it's
seriously.
Crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Well, that's something everybody needs, right? Like, everybody needs one of those in their garage or in their storage area or in their broom closet, like you said. So,
absolutely. May I make the offer? I more folks can look for it. And I also had a special offer just for your listeners, Belinda.
Okay.
It's carry cart with K's, K-E-R-R-Y, K-A-R-T. So they go see the videos. I got videos and I've got animations. It's a lot of fun. Links to presentations at HSN, links to the infomercial, things like this. It sells for $149. But if you're listening now, use the promo code Belinda on the carry cart site and save $30, free shipping and handling.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
How's that?
That is amazing. So thank you. And on behalf of all our listeners, I'm thanking you right now. So that is a very generous offer. So thank you. So let's dive in now. Let's go back a little bit. And let's go down this journey. Let's go down memory lane a little bit and tell me a little bit of your background.
Well, I started, gosh, I was very interested in radio as a kid. I listened to Larry King when I was living in Chicago. I was 12 years old and I listened to overnight radio. So I was always kind of enamored with that idea. And in my 20s, I took a radio broadcasting course in Chicago. I was kind of just focused on being a disc jockey. And I never did anything with it. And then I came down to work for my sister in Florida, in the St. Pete, near Tampa in Florida. And I ended up working for a religious radio station and basically just doing time and temperature and never really doing anything on the microphone. I got an opportunity. Well, what happened was I was working for Craftmatic Adjustable Beds. This is kind of an interesting story. And I got fired 3 days before Christmas.
Oh, no.
It's all right. A lady said she was going to give me a check and I called in the order. And then, of course, the check doesn't come when the husband says we're not going to spend $4,000 for a bed. So I get the boot and I go ahead and I go to HSN, Home Shopping Network, which is in, you know, located out of St. Pete. And I apply for a job as an operator because I know how to type since I was working for my sister selling office equipment. This is back when, you know, real mechanical typewriters were being sold before word processors, before computers in the 80s. So I get hired as an operator, but before I leave, I tell the gentleman who interviewed me, I said, you know, I think I can make it as a host here. He goes, really? I go, yeah. So he sets me up for an interview. And I turn that interview into an audition. And I'm a nervous wreck. I'm 27 years old. I've never done anything on TV. I've done time and temperature at a religious radio station. That's my only experience. And I get the audition. I walk into a studio and there's only one technician, and he hands me three products. I'll always remember it was an electronic pest repeller, hair straightener, and a cappuccino maker. I knew nothing about any one of those items. I had no familiarity with either one. And I'm writing down things on the box, and he looks at me and goes, hey, you ready to start? I go, sure. And I was horrible. I went about 5 minutes. I'm stumbling, stammering, not making any sense. And then he goes, all right. I said, I'm done. He goes, all right, we'll see you around. I go, no, you won't. There's no way that audition passes. 3 days later, I get another phone call. We want you to audition again. And now I'm all full of confidence. I said, if you thought that was a good audition, wait to see this. So then he hands me three more items of which I do not remember. And I do about 15 minutes with 1-800 numbers and American Express, Diners Club, and 30-day guarantees and talking about the items. I do about 15 minutes. Then they ask me to come in to talk about maybe getting hired. And now I'm in over my head. I'm sweating. I've never done anything like this. I may get hired. So I walk around, I take the tour. I see the studio, 250 people taking orders, cameras, three cameras. I'm like, this is crazy. I'm way over my head. What have I done? This all leads to an interview with the vice president. He makes me an offer for $18,000 a year to start. This is 1987. I accept. And then as I'm walking out, I do something that's a little bit out of my character. I said, may I ask you a question? I'm a scared little kid. May I ask you a question? He goes, sure, says the guy. I go, is it common to have two auditions for, you know, one guy? He goes, oh, no, we never heard. The technician never turned your microphone on. We had no idea what you were saying the first time.
That's awesome.
And I've been in the business for 30 years ever since.
You know what I love about this story, and I would love to get your perspective on this because I come from that mindset totally, and I know when I've had two similar stories to that, and I'm not going to tell them both, but I remember I had gone to school just in high school even, and it had worked at the hospital kind of as this vocational thing that we had. And anyway, I got my very first job at this chiropractic clinic taking x-rays because I had a little bit of experience in taking a one chest x-ray. I'm like, I can take x-rays? Like, what the heck? So I took those first films and I didn't even really get trained. And then the processor broke. It was really old and it broke on my films. And he was like,
And oh, good heavens.
He goes, we're going to have to get a new one. It won't be here for how many ever days? And I'm like, okay. And man, I went to the library and I studied at like how to take there the rest go. Of those films. And by the time the processor, he never saw my bad films. I went ahead and made it. And I had similar situation when I started as a speaker. And
right.
And it goes to that. This is where I want to go with you, okay? I just had to tell that two of those little stories sort of fast.
Get out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm.
People, the old saying was like, fake it till you make it. Like, you've got to be willing to put yourself out there. You've got to see yourself in the role. You've got to believe you're going to get the role. And stuff like that happens. Like, you put yourself in enough places and then one of them is right. And then that happened and they didn't even see the audition. So then you got another opportunity and look at it framed your entire career. And absolutely. So there's this big push now. Like, I don't know if you follow a lot of motivational speakers, but I do just because it's my gig, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the big thing now is authenticity and, you know, this fake it till you make it is, you know, positive toxicity and you have to be authentic and true and, you know, not tell people, like, just go out there and try and be your, you know, be somebody that you're really not until you be the person you want to be. And so I'm listening to all this and I'm trying not to, I said right then I refrained from saying I'm listening to all this garbage. So I try really hard to go, okay, where's the valid points in here? There are some. But man, oh man, there is still some truth in you need to just put yourself out there, believe in yourself and go for it and learn as you go.
Absolutely. I think curiosity and interest and effort really make up can really help you. Cause I always was interested in broadcasting. So I had that interest, took the class in broadcasting, led me to this point where I was way out of my comfort zone and still jumped in. You know, at that one moment when I asked that gentleman for an audition, which I'm an operator, I just got hired as an operator. And he was like, huh, all right, well, let's try this. This guy's bold enough to ask. Let's see if I can get through. Without that, Belinda, I don't know. I'd be driving a truck or I'd be, there's nothing wrong with that. Or I say, but I certainly wouldn't have the career I had today, put together 30 years of this stuff. It's crazy.
I know. I had already decided, I'd been advised by a couple of motivational speakers. They were like, you need to be on your own. Because I was training for a company. They're like, you need to be on your own. I'm like, oh, that's really sweet of you. And then I was coming back from a 3 days of meetings and me just realizing I don't want to be here. And I'm on this airplane and there was a group of guys. They had been at a golf tournament in Chicago. So I was coming home from Chicago and he said, oh, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a motivational speaker and sales trainer. I work for companies and help develop their sales force. And just like that, came out of my mouth. And he's like, oh, here's my card. He was a top executive with Ford Motor Company.
Wow.
Here is my card. Let's talk, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't get that gig right then, but he and I stayed in contact. And then a few years after I did really develop my speaking career, I did a whole tour with Ford Motor Company. And
isn't that great?
And you know what? I just put it out there. Like, here's, I'm just manifesting. This is who I'm going to be. I see myself as this. And you know what? So, and that's a connection that I made in those 30 seconds of a decision that you just say, here's what we're doing. So
your life took a right turn.
It sure did. And then it was, you know, it was a lot of fun since. So let's talk about, so you did that. I'd love to hear just a little bit of piece of your story about, working with Kevin Harrington and Shark Tank.
That's also an interesting story. One of my fun stories.
Okay.
Is that a friend of mine that I worked with HSN, he got let go before I did. So I was still hosting and I was the director of honor talent for HSN when my friend Mel gets the boot. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets hired by Kevin Harrington. Kevin is a longtime infomercial person. He and his brother started doing infomercials in the 80s. They did the original Ginsu knife.
Oh, okay.
Kevin had been around for a long, long time. He was considered to be, you know, with Ron Popeil, one of the first guys to do infomercials. That's back when the 80s when the FCC allowed the 30-minute, infomercial. Anyway, Mel gets hired as talent for Kevin. So now Kevin's got an on-air guy on staff, and Mel can also work as a producer. Mel, you know, it was like three people running this company. Kevin's brother, Tim handled a lot of the legal stuff and the setups and the contracts. And then Mel was going to be talent and handle, you know, the productions. And Kevin was going to be the front man of the operation, as he is. And he's marvelous. He's fabulous. And, you know, he knows product, he knows pitching. So it was a nice little threesome those guys had. Well, when I finally left HSN after 10 years, I got the boot. That's another whole nother story. But then Mel picked me up and I ended up working for Kevin just because they knew I had a lot of product knowledge, 10 years with HSN. They knew I knew, you know, knew mm-hmm. what types of items people would be interested in. Well, eventually the vice president of production, this other guy, he has a blowout with Kevin and he leaves the company. So there's a gap. There's an opening here in this particular spot. The guy that physically does the productions. And Mel forwards me to Kevin as a potential. I've always been talent. I've never produced anything, lighting, editing, shooting, cameras, studios. I've never done that. I've walked on and been talent in that situation, but I never did that. And Kevin's like, really, Mel, we're going to go with this guy who's got zero experience. And Kevin looked at me and goes, I'll give you the job, but you're on a really, really, really short leash. And then it was that I worked as his vice president of production for about 3 years and produced the Flavor Wave show, which eventually Mr. T came in as was talent for that show.
Yeah.
And all sorts of stuff. Microscope. It was wonderful. I absolutely loved it. And there was one of those fake it till you make it. I surrounded myself with people that knew the production stuff, knew the technical skills of lighting and setting and editing and camera work. And we worked together as a team. I gave those guys a bunch of credit I gave them a lot of room to do what they do best. And I just kind of stood back and made sure I get the selling part right, the stuff that I was familiar with and comfortable with. So Mel and I worked a lot on the scripts and I wrote a lot of scripts and, you know, and I produced the show. I remember walking into Universal, we had a deal with Universal here in Orlando we could use their studios. I was walking in there, I go, what are you doing? You're going to produce an infomercial today? You don't even know what you're doing. So it happened. So we faked the first couple and then you become comfortable and then you just move forward from that point. And I worked with Kevin till I became they sold the company. They offered me a nice contract to stay on. I said, you know what, fellas, I'm going to move on. I'm going to become a vendor at HSN. And that's what I did.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about how the business has shaped your lifestyle today.
It's interesting. You know, as an independent person, you're not punching the clock. And I really don't have any responsibilities except for when I'm scheduled to be a guest on HSN or if I've scheduled, you know, meetings with HSN. But a lot of that now these days are just over the phone and it's mm-hmm. online and in email. So you've got to be self-motivated. I try to start the day with a punch list and try to work through the list. So you always have something to do. But a lot of it is searching for new products. Like I was on Alibaba the other day. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a kind of a sourcing platform out of China for manufacturing goods. And I had the idea that it's time to bring back a particular item that I sold well about 5 years ago. I like bringing back things that were popular 5 years ago because they'll have a selling cycle for about 18 months and then they'll die down. And then about 4 or 5 years later, it's time to bring it back. So I was sourcing that item and it's just a bunch of emails and the DHL accounts and FedEx accounts, shipping samples back and forth and then making presentations to buyers. So I try to keep something in the pipeline at all times, a new product that I'm developing, products that, you know, working through their, you know, through their cycles.
Okay. Well, that's kind of fun too, right?
Absolutely. And then I'm always forced to learn things, Belinda. Like right now I'm getting close to figure out how to do Amazon Live. I mean, I could go to Amazon Live and just start pitching, but I'm trying to integrate a studio so I could bring in B-roll and bring in photographs and bring in graphics. I'm having a hard time figuring that out, but you're on your own to do these things, but it's challenging that you're always trying to make your world a bit more efficient and challenge yourself by, you know, learning new things like mm-hmm. Amazon Live or, you know, Switcher Studio, things like that.
Yeah. So what do you think two of your greatest skill sets are that have helped you succeed in owning your own business and kind of switching gears several times along the way?
I think that ability to take a little bit of risk. I mean, it's all about, I had a buddy of mine that worked for the post office for 10 years. I mean, that's the lowest risk job you could possibly have. Mm-hmm. And he was miserable up until he died. Poor guy. But that's how he wanted to live. He wanted a guaranteed paycheck. I mean, it's not going to get any more guaranteed than the post office. So he did that. And I said, no. I'm going to email China. I'm going to find products. I'm going to make presentations. I'm going to shoot B-roll because there's no guaranteed. I mean, the carry cart, when I developed that item, there's no guarantee. You can spend all that money on patents and molds and manufacturing, and HSN could look at the item and say, nah, we're going to take a pass. You know, nobody's guaranteed anything. So
right.
I'm willing to take a little bit of risk. I was fortunate in the fact that my guesting career took off almost immediately when I left Kevin and decided to become a vendor. So I said, Kevin gave me some good advice. He goes, even if you get an order from HSN today, it's going to be 6 months before you're going to get a check from whatever product you're working on. So my plan was to also work as an on-air guest and develop my vending and importing, you know, business as well. So fortunately, I was the first guest to ever sell the Roomba robotic vacuum cleaner on HSN back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And that gig lasted about 5 years. So that was a nice paycheck while I was developing. I was very lucky while I was developing, you know, vending and bringing things in.
That's great.
So,
that's
awesome. Flexibility, positive attitude, and willing to take risk, I think. All, you know, are things that I've developed and, you know, count on to move forward.
That is great. But you also brought up a really great point for our listeners is that you got to kind of have, while you're trying to transition, you got to have a couple things in the hopper. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like
multiple streams.
You've got to have multiple streams. And it's funny because I've learned that and then lost it, you know, and it's easy to lose it because all of a sudden,
yep,
all of your eggs are starting to go in this basket and you don't even realize,
yep,
it, and it's requiring your time. And the next thing you know, you're like, that basket dries up and you're like, what the world? How did I let this happen? Like, again. And
yes,
and then you're like, okay, I'm not going to do that again. But
yep,
we do. And so that's my biggest advice too, is people listening. It's like you can't have multiple streams of income and try to always have some different eggs and different baskets going. Get those,
nope,
baskets and,
yep,
and really in. Because while one is really hot, the other one is working. It takes some time, and,
yep,
and you can make your income. And I think that's important. So I love that point.
Very, very true. I've made the same mistake myself. I was, for 6 years, I sold this LED light bar at HSN. I thought it would never end. And then eventually it does end. And I was like, wow, what's coming up next? And I really didn't have a strong winner, you know, ready to go. But it's multiple streams is the key. I concur, Belinda. I concur.
Awesome. What's one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that you've achieved that's super meaningful?
Well, I think getting the patent on the cart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had I sourced items like the What a Light. It's kind of an odd name for a product, but it's called What a Light. And it's an item that I found in China that really hasn't been on the market. And I put a trademark on it. I've sold hundreds of thousands of them on QVC. As a matter of fact, the sales were so good, I got knocked off by a couple of different As Seen on TV companies. So, but I like that. But the carry cart was, I didn't know when I got started, how daunting that task was going to be to redesign the piece and get engineering and get samples and tooling and the patent and things like that. So I think I'm the most proud of that particular piece and putting it together. I do remember the first time though, when I brought an item into home shopping called the Total Visor, and the day I walked off the studio and we had sold it out at three o'clock in the morning, I said, there you go. You found an item, you found the manufacturing, you found the money, you're able to work with the buying committee, you're able to become a vendor at HSN, you're able to shoot B-roll, you're able to present the presentation at HSN with props and clearly sell the item, and then you sold it out. So that was a great little beginning to end story. And Kevin was right. It was about 6 months after I left him that I finally got a paycheck from HSN as a vendor. So he was pretty right on target. And that was very, very fulfilling to have that whole event pass like that.
Wow, that's great. So let's talk about sort of kind of the opposite of that. What's one of your challenges that you have faced and how you worked through that?
Well, oddly enough, I was so convinced. Well, I tell you this. When I got the carry cart running, I brought it to home shopping. Sold like crazy. This is 3-4 years ago. Sold like crazy. And I said to myself, whatever you do, don't take a big order. Let this thing run for a couple of years and then have, I don't know if you're familiar with HSN and QVC, but they have an item that's featured every day called Today's Special Value or Today's Special.
Okay.
And that item is featured 7 to 10 times in the day, and it's usually at a big discounted price, and they usually do about $2 million to $7 million. Gosh, on QVC, they probably do $20 million in that item in that singular day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing well on the cart, and sure enough, the buyer, he sends me an email. We want to do 15,000 of these in one day.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, would that be sweet? So I take the order, even though I didn't check with the factory what their capacity would be. And then, you know, that took a lot of financing to make all that happen. And long story short, it became a nightmare. It became a national nightmare for me. But I learned. I worked through it. HSN, you know, helped me. But, you know, I made buyers upset. Dates were missed. So my tip was, I knew in my heart, don't take the big order. Keep it small. Get this thing down to a, you know, get it to go running like a Swiss watch before you take that big order. You have everything in place. I did not have everything in place. I took the order and it all went
south.
It was a mini disaster.
Yeah. I had a really good friend many, many years ago that sold on HSN. And I remember having, and I was consulting with them on another company and project that they had. And I was so intrigued by the whole thing. And I just learned a lot about that in taking those big orders. And then I've actually done a lot of research on that. And that is, people get excited and they get ahead of themselves. And and in your gut, you know it, but there's the excitement of that. And you start counting those dollars. You start counting 1,500 of them times whatever it is. And you're like, okay. And it's just exciting.
Absolutely. The math was I could make $100,000 in a day.
Yep.
Or, you know, continue to make, you know, $1,500 a day on the days that I'm selling it. It's like, wow, it's hard to not take a $100,000 payday when it's offered.
Yep. I hear you. Yeah. So let's talk about this.
Can I say, I love talking numbers. I mean, I listen to a show when people are talking about, well, my pay was this and I made this. I want to know what the numbers are. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm proud of it. I mean, I made $18,000 a year when I was a host at Home Shopping in 1987. I mean, I think that's interesting information.
I think it is totally interesting information. And I am a numbers girl. And people shy away from it, or they get afraid of it, or people don't want to talk about it. And it's like, how can you even have a point of reference, even in a show like this, to say, well, exactly, what is a good day? Like, you know,
yeah,
what does he mean by a good day? Is he mean $10,000? Does he mean $1 million? Exactly. Or what does he mean? Exactly. I don't even know what he means. And
that's the interesting part.
Exactly. we could be really good friends. Like,
yes.
There's people that I have on my show that, you know, you just know, like, I don't know, I'm probably being weird. You're like, she's a weirdo now. But like, there's just people when you know you have certain little things in common like that. But I'm always intrigued by that. I want to know what the numbers are. I want to know what the possibilities are. I want to know what would that take. So the whole thing is intriguing to me.
Yeah,
so.
I was listening to a comedian talk on a podcast that I listened to, and he bought a theater and he produced his own show that they ended up putting on Netflix. And I'm like, well, how much did the theater cost? How much did you charge for tickets? How much was the production? How much did Netflix pay you? He wouldn't say any of those numbers. It's like, well, who cares then? I mean, you know, it's all about, I'm not learning anything by just hearing that you did something. The meat, the juice is in the numbers.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I would have been doing the same thing. And I always try to figure out between the lines or ask the right question, because it's like, you want to know. Like, people are like, well, I don't even know what it would take to buy a theater. Like, well, here's what it would take to buy a theater.
Right. I mean, is it $12 a seat or $50 a seat? Is it, you know,
exactly. Wow. So what's working from your happy place mean to you? This is kind of our signature question of the show.
You know, I think that if you get up in the morning and you say, if you're looking forward to doing your things, I mean, I'm very lucky. I've taken a couple of risks that have paid off and I've had a couple of bad turns. But I always think that life is kind of like, it's never going to be a straight line up. You're going to have down days. Things are going to go badly for you. You're going to make some mistakes. But I think with a little bit of maturity, you understand that even if you're in a down trough, that your positive attitude and just moving forward is going to, you know, turn things around a little bit. So I had that in the back of my mind, even when I'm having a rough time. So because I am the master of my own future, I could work harder or I could work less. So I can determine, you know, what I'm doing. So that gives me a little bit of comfort. It's also a little bit scary, but mostly comfort.
That is great. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to be entrepreneurs, who are wanting to do something different, get out of the lane they're in? Right. Like, you know what? I'm like the guy at the post office, man. I hate to hear those stories. However, that's what some people just want. They want the security, you know, even though there's very little security in anything these days. But so what advice would you give?
I'd say you got to lean towards the track you want to go. Like I took that broadcasting class with no guarantee of any business or anything, but I just had an interest in the broadcasting class. If you want to sell something on Amazon and just kind of dip your toe in part-time, you could do so without really spending a lot of money. You can be a bit more creative. You can go to Alibaba and find some little widget that doesn't weigh a lot that you could buy, you know, $50 worth. And if you buy $1,000 worth, they'll private label it for you. You can get a little Amazon page if that's what you want to do. And you could have Amazon deliver it for you, or you could ship it out of your own house. So, I mean, I'd start small. I'd do things I was interested in and, you know, maybe think about something that was popular years ago and it's time to bring it back. So you're having less risk if you're dealing with things that were popular in the past that you've kind of updated a little bit. So that was my advice. If you wanted to be an entrepreneur in the type of world that I am, that Amazon, Home Shopping, QVC. And then if I find a winner, let me just tell you, it's going to be very tough to walk into QVC or walk into HSN without a rep. If I find a winner, then I would try to contact a rep that's doing business with QVC or HSN and then try to get on TV. That's a $7 billion business, that QVC, HSN. A lot of folks don't realize that it does that much business. And then you've got that same type of networking all over the globe. They have it in Australia, Japan, Italy, the UK, France. They all have Germany. They all have, you know, shopping channels. So if you have a little product, you can take it worldwide without leaving your house.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, what are some new and exciting things then that you're working on that you think our listeners could benefit from? And why don't you also recap your offer just at the end of the show? I'm so glad we started with that, actually, but because we don't normally do that, and that was awesome. So why don't we recap the offer, tell our listeners kind of some new and exciting things, and then how they can connect with you?
All right. Very good. New and exciting. I'm still developing the carry cart. I became a vendor at Tractor Supply. It's also available at Lowe's, but the best offer is going to be the one we're going to talk about in a little bit. I'm looking to bring back some other products like the Tommy tape, the self-sealing silicone. I'm sourcing that, but nothing really, really exciting. I'm kind of in a middle part of my trough where I'm grinding a little bit, just moving things forward a little bit. Like I said, I've been working on becoming a vendor for Tractor Supply for about 8 months, and it finally happened yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
It's crazy. But you know, you got to take one step and just keep on grinding. They wouldn't return my emails for a month, and you know, I gave them the wrong paperwork. So it was a comedy of errors, but finally we broke through the other day. And contacting me at Tom Wise, just as you might expect, TOMWISE, at Kerrykart, KERRYKART.com. That's if you've got any questions about getting a QVC or HSN, or just any questions that you thought that might, you know, you just want to ask me. I'm not an expert on Amazon. I'm not an expert on everything, but I do know what I do know, and I could offer encouragement and perhaps a little bit of insight and maybe some direction. And the offer, Belinda, is for the carry cart, which sells for about $150, I think $149.95 or something, at carrycart.com, K-E-R-R-Y-K-A-R-T.com. $30 off. The coupon code is Belinda, and you get $30 off, and we're going to ship it out to you for free. That's the offer.
Wow.
It's great. It's great for moving things. It's moving, you know, heavy things, turns into a ladder, a cart, and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I love that. Well, gosh, Tom, thank you so much. I have absolutely loved this interview. You have been so much fun, so delightful, and so informative. So that's all you can really ask in a guest. So thank you for your time today. I appreciated it so much.
I had so much fun. Thank you very much, Belinda. You're very good. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. And to all of our listeners out there, you don't want to miss a single episode. Oh my gosh, like today's, it was just so good. And so subscribe to the show, Work From Your Happy Place, and that way you will not miss a single episode. And if you loved what you heard today, drop us a review, because that is really what helps both of us and helps the show continue to grow. So thanks so much to all of our listeners, and again to Tom, and we'll see you again on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends. And be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.